Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Road Show.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're glad you're listening in.
Yes, we are. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'd love for you to join in the conversation. Log on to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow and chat alongside with us.
Yeah, don't forget Twitter. You can also find us there at The Music Row Show. And, of course, Instagram as well, at The Music Row Show. And, in case you haven't heard, disc subscribers, you can now watch us on TV because Blue Highways TV is now on Dish.
That's right. You can watch us four times a week on Channel 73 all over the country. And for the first time ever, this is so exciting for us, right here in Nashville, people can watch us on TV.
That's awesome. Yeah, because, you know, for the last 3 years, we'd be telling people, hey, we're on TV. And they're like, sure you are.
Yeah, where can I watch it? Wisconsin, North Carolina.
Well, now you can see us in Nashville as well. So
that's right. Well, Hino, tell our listeners about this fine gentleman sitting next to us here.
Absolutely. Joining us tonight is hit songwriter, recording artist, and founding member of the group Trick Pony, Keith Burns.
What's up?
As a writer, Keith has had songs recorded by artists like Joe Diffie,
yes,
Sammy Kershaw, Hootie and the Blowfish, and Mo Bandy, just to name a few. As a recording artist, he's written and recorded several hits for Trick Pony, including Poor Me and Just What I Do. And his duo, Burns and Poe, was voted 2010's Music Row Independent Artist of the Year. And now, of course, Trick Pony is back with a brand new project and they're getting ready to release. So we're going to definitely be talking about that. And we're just thrilled to say, Keith Burns, welcome to the Music Row Show.
Hey.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me.
We were just saying before we went on the air that you kind of complete the set, the Trick Pony set. We've had the other members on and now we finally have you on.
Absolutely. So you've had that. Heidi, you've had Ira, and now and now you've got the cowboy on here.
Cowboy.
I'm thrilled to be here. It's a Sunday evening. It's beautiful, so I'm happy to be here.
We're glad you're here. Now, before we get started, Producer Logan, did you hear a little of Christopher Walken there in that intro?
Christopher Walken?
Yeah, you did like the duel Burns and Poe was voted 2010.
I got a fever. And it said, I need more cowbell.
I heard it. Well, okay, let's start this hour because I have a feeling it's going to just go away from us quickly. Let's channel the Keith Burns that was fronting the house band at the Copper Dollar Saloon.
Oh, wow.
In Atlanta after high school.
Okay.
What were his goals musically? And what would he think about the ride he's been on the last couple of decades?
Wow, that's a big question right there. It goes back quite a few years. And first of all, I'm very fortunate, very humble, and very lucky to be where I'm at right now, and to have had the amount of success that I have. And along the way, there's been a lot of luck. There's been a lot of a lot of friends that have guided me when I moved to Nashville. Playing bars, but that kid back then would be, I think he'd be thrilled where I am today, but more so I think he'd be thrilled of the person that I've become. You take your knocks in this business and you learn from them, and you try to be a better musician and a better singer and a better songwriter, but most of all you try to be a better person. Mm-hmm. At the end of it. And I'm thrilled where I'm at, and I'm thrilled where I'm going. The ride's not over yet.
Don't count me out yet.
What's wrong with you?
No, not at all. But I'm just wondering, like, what was the idea of success back then? What were you going for? Or were you just like, man, I'm just happy to be here on Friday night playing in a...
Oh, I think everybody. I used to talk with Blake Shelton about this very thing. Hey, let me get that name I just dropped.
Yeah.
But no, I think the main thing for everybody is to, number one, move to Nashville and get a record deal. And then once you get a record deal, get something out on the, get a single, get sure. something out on radio. And that's really all I think anybody, that's like the first, goal to have. And then once you reach that and achieve that, then it's like, okay, now everything else is just icing on the cake. Then you want the gold album. And then you want the platinum album, and then you want another one. And I think each time you achieve a goal, you just, you reach for the next one. And that's kind of what I've done, and it's worked out pretty well for me. I've been lucky.
Sweet. Yeah. Well, you played bass with Joe Diffie for a lot of years.
You know, and I tell you, I can't begin to tell you how much Joe influenced me, not so much as an artist in singing, but just how the things not to do in this business.
Well, I was going to ask you, what kind of lessons did you learn from him?
Oh, just tons of them. Joe is a true professional. To me, he's the most underrated country music singer ever. I just think the world of Joe as a human being, and I think the world of Joe as a singer. And why he wasn't 4- or 5-time male vocalist of the year, I'll never know. But he's still out there, and he's still rocking the road. And just learning just things like this, how to do radio interviews, how he conducted himself around promoters when he'd go and play live. And he was always nice to people. And, you know, so I kind of took that away from Joe. And when I left Joe in 96 to put Trick Pony together, he couldn't have been more gracious. I was, you know, I'd just written a song called Whole Lotta Gone, and he'd cut it. I think it went top 15. And I said, well, if I'm going to move on and do my own thing, now would be the time to do it. And Joe was just he was a sweetheart about it. He said, take all the time you want and good luck. And any way I can help, I will. And so, it's a great experience. But that's when I moved up here in 90 and he gave me a job playing bass and singing background for him, it was that was kind of the break I needed.
Wow. So what kind of adjustment was that going from being one of the side guys to being one of the guys down in front of the stage?
Well, you know, it wasn't really that big of an adjustment for me because I was the front guy before. When Joe came down to Georgia, when we were playing the Copper Dollar Saloon, when he came down and saw the band, I was singing lead and playing bass.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
I was already used to, you know, putting on, you know, being the front guy of the band. I just kind of slid in the background. And Joe, you know, just kind of played bass and sang background, you know.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
when it was, and also when I put Trick Pony together, I wasn't the only lead singer. In fact, Heidi was the majority lead singer.
So, right.
But what I did was I stepped in and sang 2 or 3 songs on each album and was fortunate enough to have one of the singles, which was Just What I Do that I sang. But Heidi was, predominantly the lead singer for Trick Pony. And she still is, by the way.
Still is. Yeah, still is.
And she'll tell you that.
Don't forget it.
Just ask her.
And she lets me sing one every once in a while.
Yeah. Well, I want to back up to Whole Lotta Gone.
Okay.
Because, and I know I'm actually stealing this from you, but how tough is that to be a side guy to pitch a song? Because there's relationships
etiquette.
There. There's etiquette. I mean, how was that in your world? And
well, Joe was very open to everybody in the band. And in fact, our lead guitar player at the time, Lee Bogan, he'd written a couple things with Joe and Honky Tonk Attitude. And
love that song.
Oh, yeah. And so Joe was very open to it. He goes, hey, if anybody's got any ideas, come forward with them if you think I'd like them. And it's one of those things where you don't do it all the time.
You don't take advantage
of
that kindness.
You save those songs for when you go, hey, I think, Joe, I think I might have something that you might, might be right in your wheelhouse. And and he would listen to it. So I'd probably say I'd probably pitched him 8 songs, and he cut a whole lot of gone. So one for 8 ain't bad.
That's not bad. Yeah.
I didn't inundate him with a bunch of material.
Was that the 8th?
No.
Okay.
No. I think that was about the 4th one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't one of those things where it was like, fine, I'll cut one of these songs already.
Leave me alone. No, I didn't do that. You know, you don't want to take advantage of that situation.
Right.
But at the same time, he was very open to it. And just like I am now, and Heidi is with any of our band members, if they want to come up, if they got a great song idea or they got a great song and they want to, play it for us, we'll listen. Hey, we're always looking for a hit song.
Sure.
Know?
Now, if it's a bad song, they're fired, right?
They're fried. We don't fire anybody, or we try not to.
Yeah.
Well, listening to your songs, I don't know. I feel like you have a real knack for verses that quickly support and lead into a strong hook. That's one of the things, as I listen to song after song of yours, I go, boy, he gets there, and... Who were your mentors early on to get you that, or was that part of the training, or is that just kind of something you
just do?
Well,
first of all, that's very, what's the word? I'm a songwriter, don't even know the word for it. observant of you. I liked, the more I write and the more I've written, and I just love to get to the meat of the subject. I mean, I like, to me, I like 3-minute songs. I like 4 lines and get to the chorus. I mean, mm-hmm. I just, you know, basically what a song is, it's a 3-minute, it's a movie in 3 minutes, and that's what it is. And, you know, if you don't get to the meat of the song, you know, pretty quick, then those 3 minutes turn into 3:30 and then 4 minutes and 5 and you know, so.
Right.
One of the best, and I'll just give you, for instance, one of the best songs ever written was Bobby Braddock wrote Time Marches On.
Yeah.
And it's the story of 4 or 5 people's lives, their whole lives, in 3 minutes and 15 seconds.
Right.
And that is a great song. So that's kind of what I've tried to emulate and be catchy. I mm-hmm. like catchy melodies and that people want to sing along with. And I think for me, I'm kind of lucky in the fact that I like writing commercial stuff. You know, I'm not one of these guys that's hung up on, oh, I want it to this cool piece of art. You know, that's right. Not what I'm
trying to be really deep.
No, yeah. I that's not my style. You know, that not that I don't, you know, like listening to that sure. kind of stuff, you know, but I'm just like a meat and potatoes kind of guy. Like if the sky's blue, it's blue, you know. Okay. It's not 7 shades of opaque.
Azure.
It's Azure is hard to rhyme anyway, so that's a tough one. Well, that's interesting. So, I mean, you definitely figured out your wheelhouse pretty early on. Then,
yeah, I think you do what you do. You're always learning. You're always you know you're always growing as a writer. Yeah. But at the same time, you kind of figure out what you do and what you do best, and that's the direction you kind of go and stay with.
When you were learning the craft, and what were the kind of things you bumped up against? What were the kind of things you were told, well, you need to work on this or work on that?
Oh, just, you know, spending time with the song. Never, number one, like Rodney Crowell says, never settle for the soft rhyme. I hate it. I hate songs that have the soft rhyme.
Okay.
Why? Why even bother? Find a hard rhyme. That's what you do as a songwriter.
People listening who may not know what a soft rhyme is.
Well, you know, take and bake.
Right.
Okay?
That's a hard rhyme.
That's a hard rhyme.
Yeah.
Take and... Mate. Shave.
Shave, yeah, okay.
Take anything and shave. Yeah, that's a soft rhyme. So, and that's like at the end of sentences, and you know, just don't ever settle for it. You can, okay. You know, you can find a hard rhyme, but other than that, you know, that's just stick to the basics.
Well, what's your take on not rhyming at all?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Some things work. If it works, it just works. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, it's always has to be that way. You know,
right,
Alan
right.
Jackson has made a career out of writing songs and half of his lines don't rhyme. So, I mean, and they're great songs. That just happens to be his style, not mine, you know. Of course, he's been pretty successful.
He's done pretty darn good with that. But you know what? I notice every time. I'm like, what? Wait a minute. That line didn't rhyme.
It didn't rhyme.
I noticed that.
He's got a way of doing it, though, where it's kind of, here's the thing, with Alan, it's kind of become his thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why it's kind of cool with him, but, you know, I just don't make a habit of it. But.
Right.
I always love to hear a singer, like, completely mangle a word pronunciation-wise to make it rhyme.
To make it rhyme, and you don't want to do that.
It would never actually rhyme if just in normal conversation, but, you know.
Yeah,
that's fun. You know, but that's fun though.
Yeah,
that's
I guess
fun
it
to
is.
Do,
yeah.
You know, yeah. Sometimes you make up your own words.
Sure.
Just to, you know, there's one of the songs that we have on our new album, on our new CD coming out, and it's I just completely made up the intro to it, and it makes no sense, but it's everybody should be able to sing along with it. So that's kind of cool.
Ooh,
all right.
There's a little teaser right
there's
there.
A teaser.
What's the ballpark for this new project?
Well, we're picking a single within the next week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we've been in the studio, Heidi and I, and we've been cutting. We've got about 10 things that we've cut. We're picking a single in the next week, and then off we go. You know, that's when we hand it over to the promotion team, and they do what they do, and hopefully... Hopefully y'all be spending it on this right here. So we'll
see. It's Trick Pony, so we can expect a ballad.
Yeah.
It's 10 ballads.
We've actually cut some, you know, a couple of ballads and some mids, but no, we won't come out of the box with a no.
Come on,
you are now.
Let's won't surprise hit. The world.
We are the world. We are Trick Pony.
Listen, we need to take a quick break, but we want to tell you that our sponsor of this segment is our good friends over at Toyota of Cool Springs.
Yeah.
That is a great dealership. Scott and I are both Toyota drivers, and we spend a lot of time over there just, you know, when we get our car service and all that sort of thing, and they're just great. Aren't they, Scott?
Yes, they are. They're great. They are so great that I just think they're
great.
How great
are they?
They're just great. No, you know, and we talk a lot about the dealership in general, but we go and get my wife and I get our car service there, and they just – they treat you real nice. It's real comfortable when you walk in. And if you want to go out and look at cars, nobody's jumping on you and, you know, doing the whole salesman thing. So it's really cool. Go see George, the owner. He's going to take wonderful care of you. Again, that is ToyotaOfCoolSprings.com.
All right. Now we're going to be... We are back, Music Row Show. We are here with Keith Burns, the guy you heard play the guitar there right now in Trick Pony.
He wrote that song.
Wrote that song.
I sure did.
That was you at the beginning going, down, 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 down.
Yes, it was. I can prove it. Hang on.
All right.
No, don't. You can't challenge me and throw something out there.
That wasn't you, was it?
That was...
I guess it was you.
That sounds just like it. All right. I won't ever question you again.
We will never doubt you again.
Question me. You know, looking back at those videos, the Trick Pony videos, and listening to the songs, and we used to actually, the band I was in San Diego used to do a bunch of Trick Pony songs. I probably owe you some royalties off that. but I remember that at the time, there was nobody out there that looked like you guys or that sounded anything like you. Talk about the importance of not being a Me Too act, because, you know, right now in any aspect, you know, when Garth Brooks became hot, all of a sudden each label had a guy that kind of sounded like Garth Brooks.
Right.
But you guys, you guys just hit like a ton of bricks because there's nothing like you.
Well, you know, when I got with Heidi and Ira and I told them the concept, when I first talked to them about the concept, I said, this is what I'd like to do is be like the Fleetwood Mac of country. You know, okay. You got Stevie Nicks, which Heidi, that'd be obviously you kind of doing that pivotal focal point. And then kind of you got Lindsey Buckingham over here. And then you got, you know, Christine McVie sings every once in a while, like Ira would come in, and he was like the wild guy, like the drummer and that's just kind of the way we you know, I worded it. I mean, that's obviously not exactly what we became, but we each had our own identifiable personalities,
right,
that we brought to the table. You know, I wore the cowboy hat, Ira had the long hair and was crazy, and then Heidi had that beautiful long blonde hair and sang like Wanda Jackson and just, you know, blew harmonica like it was nobody's business. So we kind of had our own each little thing that we brought to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And then the harmonies together seemed to work pretty good. So, you know, and there was nothing quite like it, but, you know, before we came out and we were original and which is kind of cool.
So after all those years of playing bass, then what made you not want to play bass in this group?
Well, Ira and I both were bass players.
Right.
And I would much rather play guitar and do, you know, be more of a show, you know, show kind of, and he was more of a, you know, he said, hey, I'll play bass. At first we were both going to split it up a little bit back and forth, but he just had the doghouse bass and it just worked out that way. I've never went back, you know, once I put the bass down and started playing guitar, because I actually started on guitar. So once that, okay, you know, once I did that and put the bass down, I still play it every once in a while.
Sure.
I'll grab it off our bass player's shoulders now every once in a while and go, hey, I can still play this.
I can still do this. Well, how did, when you guys got started and were doing showcases around town, I mean, how were people reacting to the visual and the sonic pop that you guys had at first?
Well, they didn't know what to do with it. And it, quite honest, it took us 3 years to get a record deal, and we were playing at the Wild, we were the house band at the Wild Horse Saloon for 2.5 years of that, you know. So they, it wasn't like the labels couldn't come down and see us in the biggest venue in town. We got turned down probably two or three times by every single label. They just didn't quite know what to do with what we were doing. And once Paige Levy from Warner Brothers came in, and she saw us, and she got it. She understood what we were going for. And Jim Ed Norman, who was president of Warner Brothers, he saw us, and he just fell in love with it, and they signed us, and the rest is history. But it for everybody out there, any artist out there listening, I mean, you can't move to town, stay 6 months, everybody turn you down, and then leave town again. If you got to have persistence, you got to stay at it and keep going, because there's, you know, record labels, you know, their staff, that changes all the time. So right. Just because one record label turns you down doesn't mean that 6 months later
it's all new people.
It might be a new A&R person at that record label. They come in and see you, and they just fall completely head over heels in love with what you're doing. So, you know, you just, you know, Willie Nelson, another name. Let me get that another name here. I just dropped.
I'll just get a shovel for you.
Can you get me a bucket?
Yeah, like, no problem. Yeah.
But no, I asked Willie one time, you know, that very thing, because a lot of people, you were touching on this earlier, a lot of people, they'll hear a song, especially the way songs are on the radio, and they'll hear a sound, and they'll go, well, let's jump out there and write a song that sounds just like that, or do, you know. And to me, I've always went like Willie Nelson. He told me, I said, give me the best advice in one sentence, and he said, just do what you do. And that's what I've always done. Mm-hmm. And if somebody goes, well, your song sounds like 1992, so what?
Yeah.
That's a good year. You know, your song sounds like you just copied the song that was on the radio last week. Yeah. You know, so I've always tried to be true to myself and do what I do. And, you know, if people love it, that's fantastic. God bless. And if people don't, I'm still doing what I love to do. So yeah. At the end of the day, it's a win-win situation for me.
Well, we've heard a lot of folks on the show over the years talk about how a label would love them and then sign them. And the very first thing they did is like, okay, here's what we need to change. We need to do this, 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 and you need to do that, and that, and that. Did you have any of that? Did they try to mold you into something different that you didn't want to be?
No. No,
that's good.
That, you know, that we were very, very lucky and very fortunate that didn't happen to us. We, you know, that we were pretty much, this is what, you know, this is what it is, and bang, you know, and they went with it, and they didn't change us. So.
All right, cool. Yeah, all right.
Well, we were lucky. Yeah.
We'd love to hear a song. You feel like playing?
Sure,
one?
I'll play you one.
I mean, we know you know, you don't got the blonde hair and all that sort of thing, but, you know, we'd love to hear you sing too.
Like I said, Heidi lets me sing one every once in a while.
All right.
So. Is this thing?
That's perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Can you totally hear that?
Yeah.
You talk about simplicity and getting to the meat of the thing. Here you go. Here's a song that we're doing in our show right now, and it goes over pretty big with our crowd. And I know my mom and dad are listening, so I'm going to send this out to my mom and dad, Frank and Jean.
All right.
Anyway, I think you'll like this one. I believe everybody out there knows somebody just like this. She got her PhD at Hooters. She's proud of that degree. She likes to ride on the back of my scooter with her pretty legs wrapped around me. She loves my I Heart Mama tattoo. Swears it's a work of art. Hey, God bless her sweet little trailer park heart. Well, she's flashy, she's trashy. My platinum Barbie bleach blonde. She's a double wide queen in two tight jeans, but that's what turns me on. I met her looking at me walking down aisle 3 out at the local Walmart. Yeah, God bless her sweet little trailer park heart.
Nice.
Are you with me so far?
Oh, yeah.
When you get a couple drinks in her, she starts shooting off her mouth. She's a saint and she's a sinner. Yeah, she's cool as all get out. She's crazy as hell, even been to jail. But I loved her right from the start.
Hey, God bless her sweet little trailer park heart. Well, she's flashy, she's trashy, my platinum Barbie bleach blonde. A double white queen, two tight jeans, but that's what turns me on. I met her looking at me walking down aisle three out at the local Walmart. Hey, God bless her sweet little trailer park heart. I met her looking at me walking down aisle three out at the local Walmart. Hey, God bless her sweet little trailer park heart. God bless her sweet little trailer park heart. Oh yeah.
Yeah. All right.
That was about my ex-wife.
God love her.
Oh man. So when you finally got that deal and you're out there and now you're the artist, you know, and this is what you've been hoping for
striving
many many years, many years,
craving for.
What about that maybe was unexpected that you didn't expect, and then you look back on it like, wow, I didn't see that coming, or that's different than I thought it would be.
You know, just the amount of hard work you had to come in. But again, I learned a lot of that from Joe.
Right.
You know, just seeing what he had to go through. You know, playing shows at till midnight, signing autographs till 1 in the morning, getting on the bus, having to get up, do 6 a.m. radio interviews.
Yeah.
Just how much effort and how much hard work it really takes. Not just to get to that level and reach that level of success, but to sustain it, it takes double that. So, you know, when I'm watching,
oh wow,
when I'm watching a team, you know, I'm a huge sports fanatic, and I'm seeing somebody like the San Antonio Spurs or somebody that wins a championship and then they turn around and win it again. I mean, it's so hard because a lot of people lose that hunger. Once they achieve a certain amount of success, they go, okay, now I've made it.
You can coast now.
I can coast now, and that's just simply not the truth in this business. You got to work hard at your craft, whether it be writing or touring, staying in shape, or at least trying to, you know, on the road. And we all know fair food's not the best food in the world.
Well, it depends on how you look at it. Well,
there's a lot of vitamins in deep fried Twinkies, I would say.
I'm a firm belief that round is a shape, Keith.
I get it. I understand.
I stay in shape.
No, I understand that. I just try to, when a promoter hires us to come in and do a show, and we send them an 8x10 picture, I just try to look like what's on that 8x10.
Right, right, right.
That's really my goal. My only goal as far as staying in shape is to kind of look like what that picture is.
Right, you know? Right.
I've been on the other side of that before, where you look at somebody and you look at the picture and they show up to do the concert and you go, whoa.
Who are you?
Yeah. Well, this segment's brought to you by Match.com, by the way. the picture's – oh no, okay, never mind. That's not true.
Not true at all.
Not true at all. Here's a songwriting question for you.
Okay. Fire away.
How do you handle it when you bring a killer idea into a co-write?
Okay.
And after a couple hours slogging away at it, you realize this is not the right person for this idea.
Mm.
How do you get out of it? Or do you? I mean, what's the etiquette there in your world?
Well, for you know, what I try to do is you know, I just kind of go, you know what, this ain't going the direction I thought we'd go with it, and let's, what do you have? Or let's work on something else, let's try this other idea. I'm getting stuck on this, and this ain't going where it needs to go, and maybe revisit it later, or... you know,
but having said that, are you then free to try that idea with somebody else? Or
yeah, you just kind of let them know, you know, just gotta say, hey, listen, it didn't work out with this particular idea.
Yeah.
You know, do you mind if I might take this idea over and write it with Dean Dillon?
Yeah.
But no, you know, and most of the time if you do it that way, but
You know, a lot of times people don't do that. They'll just take an idea that, that they've written and they'll just go write it with somebody else. And you know, I think the right thing to do is just, because most of the time people go, yeah, go ahead. It's your idea anyway. It was your hook.
So, right.
Now, if it's the other person's hook then, and you go write it with somebody else, you got...
that's a problem.
That's another thing altogether.
You got a whooping waiting on you in the parking lot.
It's a good way to make sure nobody wants to write with you ever again.
Ever again.
Oh, yeah,
I just love to write, you know, and it's again, it's a never-ending... Writing is a never-ending craft that's always evolving. But at the same time, once you get your little niche that you have, then it just the way you write this, it now it comes down to ideas,
right?
You know, a great idea. Like I'm constantly, the cell phone here, the smartphone has become my best friend. Because I used to have a napkin or have to find a piece of paper and a pen,
back of a receipt.
I just hit this, say the title or the idea. Because people are constantly saying lines on a daily basis where I go, man, that's a great title for a song. Even if it ain't a great title for a song, it might be a great line in a song.
Sure,
right.
So, you know, but yeah, as far as songwriting's concerned, and you haven't even asked the question yet, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you. It's probably the next question. But, you know, people ask me all the time, the melody or the words, what's most important? And I always say the melody, because there have been dozens of hit songs
with gibberish,
with just melodies. We don't even have any words.
Yeah.
Even have words. There has never been one song that's been a hit where somebody just... So I said, you know, where they just read a poem over the air. Never been a hit. Not one. But there's been plenty of musical hits. So that tells me that the melody is the most important thing.
Okay.
That's what drives it home.
Yeah.
Now, you mix the two, and then you get magic.
See?
There you go.
You mix, yeah, so.
That's a bass player songwriter right there.
That's
attempting. Just my philosophy.
That's a good one.
I like it.
That's a good one. Let's take another break. We're going to be back with more Keith Burns of Trick Pony. Stick around. We'll be right back. Bow, tick a bow, 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 ba yippee, yippee, ow, tick a bow, 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 ba yippee, yippee, ow, tick a bow, 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 ba yippee, yippee, ow, tick a bow, bow, bow. Well, I remember when I lit my first firecracker with my brothers on the 4th of July. How excited I was that Christmas morning when Santa brought me my first bite.
Welcome back to the Music Row Show.
I like that.
That's our guest here this hour, Keith Burns. That's a tune called Feels Like That Again.
Yeah. And this is that...
That's one of our new ones.
That's a new Trick Pony song.
Brand new Trick Pony.
Has that ever been played on the radio?
Nope, never has.
Yes.
Look at that.
Woohoo! Premiere.
And they told me, the record label told me not to play the whole song here.
Okay, well, we didn't. Interrogate. We didn't.
I know that. Y'all are great.
So... You actually, you know, even because you, Trick Pony went on a little hiatus for a while, and you actually stayed in contact. You wrote, for example, What Am I Waiting For? One of
wrote
Heidi's
that with Heidi,
title
me, Heidi,
cut.
And Ira and Jeffrey Steele. And, you know, when Heidi left Trick Pony, she needed to leave Trick Pony. And looking back on it, of course, it was like we were married, you know. And Heidi and I have been friends a long time, and we're really good friends again. And, I don't think we ever were not friends. I just think, you know, there was animosity there, which when you're
painful.
When you're in a band and it's like a marriage and somebody leaves, you're like, hey, what did you leave me for? But looking back, she needed to leave. You know, she needed to leave and she had things that she needed to do and we needed to go do what we did. And it just, the stars lined up and we got, you know, and we're back together. And,
yeah,
you know, Ira's going to sit this one out. He's doing his own project and writing and producing. But Heidi and I, we've surrounded ourselves with a great band. It's probably the best band that I've worked with in a long, long, long time. And they're a bunch of young gunslingers that sing like the Eagles. They all sing like really good harmonies. And we're just thrilled, man. We've been out doing the shows on the road, and that's a little taste of some of our music, and, you know, we're just having a great time.
Nice.
Sweet. Fortunate to get another shot, you know. I mean, absolutely, not everybody gets that second chance once you've had a, you know, we had a nice little run from 2000 to 2007, and then Heidi went and she had a really big song with Johnny and June.
Johnny and June, yeah.
Which we do in our show, our live show. But
I was going to ask you that. Do you incorporate some of that?
Absolutely, we do. And we do it with, but we got those Trick Pony harmonies with the guys and
great,
everything. So it's just, and like she says, she loved doing it as a solo artist, but she really loves doing it now with us because she's got that, you know, big harmonies behind her. And
I mean, you got to do it. I mean, if somebody's known for a song, I mean,
it's
like the Eagles. You mentioned the Eagles. You know, they all had solo stuff, but mm-hmm, they do that when they perform as the Eagles.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, and that song goes over great every night, you know. So it's a well-written song, and she sings the mess out of it, you know.
Yeah.
She's so powerful.
Stephanie Smith, right?
That's Heidi and Stephanie Smith, and I forget the other girl. I'm sure the lady will call me or text me.
That's right.
I'm sure she'll call me up and cuss me out. But anyway.
So do you do any Burns and Poe?
No, we don't really do any Burns and Poe stuff. Michelle and I did more duet kind of things, and mm-hmm, Heidi and I are more, it's band kind of songs. I mean, but it is a duo now, but it still sounds more like a...
See, I was thinking I need a J-O-B. I need a job would be...
Hey, you like that one?
I love that song.
You know, that song has gotten more play than anything I've written in a long time, and I need a job, not a government plan. And what it is, it constantly goes in and out of the top 100 on the charts on the P1 stations and stuff, because every time the government messes up something, they play I Need a Job. I'm like, I need to write another one of those.
Yeah, awesome.
Now, we don't do that, but you know what? I'm going to talk to Heidi. Maybe we should.
There you go.
Because that's a band song.
It sure is.
Yeah.
It sure is.
Make that a hit. All right, listen, we need to take one last break, but we're going to be back with more of Keith Burns from Trick Pony here on the Music Row Show.
Maybe you think it'd be all right if I came round about midnight. We'll go dance in the moonlight if you ain't got nothing to do. But I got a bottle of red wine ready to drink, oh, it's just right. I've been saving this good time.
That is brand new Trick Pony music. That's a tune called Give It To You. And we're here with Keith Burns, one of the founders of Trick Pony.
Well,
that's got a great groove.
I
can't wait to hear the whole thing. I know we're not allowed to play the whole thing, so I can't wait to hear it all.
Well, you know what? We're very proud. Heidi and I, we wrote a lot for this, but we also went outside and went to the neighborhood and went to our brothers and sisters out on Music Row and 16th Avenue and just, you know, basically got on our knees and begged and pleaded with them and said, listen, you know, please give us your best, your A stuff. And they came to the table. And the first one, Feels Like That Again, mm-hmm, I co-wrote that with Karen Staley. And of course,
Karen. We love Karen. Yeah.
Karen's like one of the great songwriters of all time and a really dear friend of both Heidi and myself. In fact, Karen co-wrote the song Trailer Park Heart with Heidi and me.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah,
okay.
But
she wrote actually a lot of songs for you guys on your first couple
on
albums.
On a Night Like This.
Yeah.
She wrote that, which was our own number one song for us. But we went and we got that second song. We went and that's an outside song. And, you know, the depth of songwriting in Nashville,
yeah,
it's incredible. But
yeah,
we Heidi and I got out there ourselves along with our producer, James Stroud, and we just rolled up our sleeves and went to meeting after meeting after meeting. And we found what we thought were the best songs.
That's great.
And, you know, used to with Trick Pony, there'd be this tug of war game kind of going on, but I want this song. Well, what about my song? And that's out the window this time around. Heidi and I just want to cut the best music, whether we wrote it or not. And I think we've done that.
Wow, congratulations.
That is awesome. Yeah.
You kind of touched on this with the fair food remark earlier, but what would surprise people about the glamorous world of a touring recording artist?
the amount of crappy hotels we have to stay in.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know, people just, they, you know, the fans out there. And well, the fans that come to the shows, they know. Because they're the ones that have to book, if they go, you know, drive a couple hours to the show, they have to book a hotel. You know, we play, this is country music. Mm-hmm. Not every show we do is downtown St. Louis or downtown Chicago or in Atlanta where you can stay at a Doubletree or, a, you know, or the Ritz. Most of our shows are county fairs out in the middle of nowhere, small towns where there's not many hotels, you know, and you get a lot of Motel 6s.
Yeah,
you know, Super 8s.
Super 8s, and that's really, that's the only option you have. It's not like you have...
Or sleep on the bus.
Or sleep, and we do have a shower on the bus, and we do, a lot of us sleep on the bus, but you still, when you're rolling down the road in a 45-foot tube, you got to get out of there, you know. If you know,
claustrophobic.
During the day, you know, so I always usually go back to the hotel and... Or I'll take a run through the, if it's a small town, I'll take a jog through the town and just kind of check out. I love old houses and stuff like that and checking out things like that. Just, you know, I get a workout, break a sweat, go shower at the hotel, and then go back to the bus most of the time.
Right.
Yeah. But that's the one thing that most people don't realize. You stay in this kind of, all the time. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, I would just imagine, you know, the actual show part, the actual performance part is a microscopic part of your day.
Well,
compared to everything else you got to do.
I have always said this, and this is kind of my motto, and you know, we don't get paid. I don't get paid to play music. I get paid to travel. Mm-hmm. I play for free. I love to play. I mean, that's 90 minutes up on the stage. That hour and a half that we perform, that's pure joy. That's just you're walking up the seven steps and getting up there and performing for those people and the fans and our friends, and you become linked to the loyalty that country fans have. That's pure joy. I don't get paid for that. I do that for free. You pay me to crawl out of my bed and get on a bus and drive 13 hours overnight. That's what I get paid for. That's the way I look at it.
Right, right.
Man.
Before we run out of time, I want to talk about It's
We're
a God.
We're already out of time.
No, we got time for It's a God thing. Okay, tell us about that, because that's important.
You know, Heidi had this amazing idea called It's a God thing, and she was going to write it with Dean Dillon, and for whatever reason, they couldn't get together on it. And, you know, bad luck for Dean, good luck for, you know, who's one of the greatest songwriters ever, you know, but good luck for me and Karen Staley again, because the three of us sat down and wrote it. And Heidi just looked at me. She goes, Keith, you know, it's a God thing. Just channel. My daughter was diagnosed 4 years ago with leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was diagnosed, she had a stroke while she was on the table.
Oh, my.
Well, at 6 months in ICU, in and out of the hospital for a year. We almost lost her three or four times. And, but, you know, Heidi just said, Keith, channel that into this first verse, and I had that the melody going. I just started playing this finger picking melody on the guitar, and she goes, channel what you felt and how you felt going into that moment, and that's exactly what I did. It literally spilled out, and the words just came right out, just like you hear it on the record. And I'm happy to say that my daughter's in complete remission.
Wonderful.
Last year she worked, she did merchandise for Trick Pony for us on the road, and she met an Army Airborne named Dalton, and I got to walk her down the aisle last December.
Oh, my goodness.
So It's a God thing has a special meaning, both in that and about Heidi losing her mother on the road and having to deal with it, and her mom being the calm and telling her, you just get up there and sing, and... that, and you know, and the thing is, this song is available. It's not our single, but when we wrote it, our tour manager had a heart aneurysm, and he spent like all this money. He's in the hospital. He barely made it, and he's still in recovery. But we didn't want to single this song, but at the same time, every song lands where it's supposed to land.
Right.
So this song, we put it out on iTunes. The head of our label said, go ahead, let's put it out on iTunes, and all proceeds, the songwriting, the publishing, everything goes to the recovery fund for our tour manager, Mark O'Connell.
Oh, so that's awesome.
If people want to get on our website, trickpony.com or keithburnsmusic.com, and there's a GoFundMe for Mark O'Connell for his recovery fund, and they can, or they can download this song. It's a God thing on iTunes, and every dime goes to him. So
wonderful.
That okay. is great. Yeah, that is great.
We're truly blessed to be able to do that. So.
Well, thank you so much in coming and hanging out with us. We've had such a blast. It's just flown by.
And when
the new CD comes out, you guys are going to come back and visit with us.
Absolutely. Heidi's already given me her word.
All right.
Her pinky swear. And we'll get the new music out, and we'll both come back in here and do y'all a couple of songs, man. It's been great. Thank y'all very much
Sounds
for having
great.
Me.
Hey, everybody, go visit themusicrowshow.com and find us on Dish Channel 73. You can watch our shows. We'll see you next week on The Music Row Show.